the Anointed One, and the Anointing.
I encourage you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, what is the word Christ? We've been studying this for months. The word Christ is the Anointed One and His anointing. Therefore, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Anointed One is born of God. Verse 20 refers to, "We know the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, Jesus is the Son of God. Everybody in here, I do believe, believes that. He's manifested in the human form. Jesus is the name given to the man. Christ is the spiritual or the anointed part. Matthew 1:16 tells us the lineage of Jesus. Jacob had Joseph, husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ or the Anointed One. Luke 4:23 tells us again about the lineage of Jesus, and it refers to him both times as Jesus, meaning the humanly, manly form. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. So when we see Jesus, that's his humanity name. We know that Jesus Christ is the joining together of humanity and of deity in the body, the manifested presence of God, of the individual named Jesus Christ. Jesus was his name. Christ is what he was. He was anointed. He is continuing to be the anointed. He is anointed spiritually. It's your spirit that is anointed. It's your spirit that's born again when you accept Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You have the same body. You have the same mind. The Bible tells us we have to renew our mind daily. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." The exact duplicate in kind, Adam was the exact duplicate in kind of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and of the power, the Holy Spirit. So man was formed from the earth. The Holy Spirit breathed the breath of lives. It's not life. The translation should be lives. He breathed the breath of lives in Adam. That's why God said, "If you eat of this tree, you will surely die." Well, when they ate of the tree, God didn't lie. Their spiritual life died. It became disconnected from God. So from that point on, Adam began to move in the exact same things that we move in today, which are fear. What was the first thing that God found out of Adam's mouth when he walked in the garden in the cool of the night the first day? "I was afraid." "Why are you hiding?" "I was afraid." Fear. All fear can be traced right back to the Garden of Eden, when man became separate again from God. Now listen to me. Adam was the first 200% man. He was 100% humanity, and he was also 100% deity, because God said, "Let us make him in our image." Our image meaning God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritually, he was exactly a 100% duplicate in kind of God the Father. That's why God could walk with him and talk with him. That's why God could come down in the cool of the day. That's why God brought the animals to him, because he had that anointing in him. That life of the anointing was in him. Why did God put it in him? Because he was the one who was to take authority over things here on the earth. God is the one who is God of all the universe. And so what happened is, when that disconnection came, there was a severed life there. Adam still continued to live physically, still continued to have children, be a family man, had to go out and till the soil, but the spiritual, the anointed part of him, no longer was. And so now, we have the first 200% man, the 100% godly part of him is gone. It's severed from God. Now, we have only 100% of that man left, the humanity. Therefore, when Jesus came, Jesus again is, and he referred to himself as Ben-Adam, the Son of Man. Why? Because he was another 200% man. He came down to earth. He was born of a virgin, so there could be no sin in his life. And therefore, as he's born, he is spiritually connected to God. And that's why he says, the things that I do are the works of my Father, because he's spiritually connected. You can't do the works of the Father if you are not spiritually connected to him. That's why when we are all out in the world, we don't accomplish anything for God. We may be good people, we may help people, we may do all the right stuff, but we are still disconnected or severed from God. But when we're born again, that anointing of Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Anointed One, is there to flow through us because our spirits are one with God. So there's no separation there now. Any child of God has that spiritual connection with God. You've been put into the plug, so to speak. You represent him. You have the image of God in you. You have that anointing and that power in you. Excuse me. We have to learn to grow into that. But 1 Corinthians 11:7 tells us that man is the image and glory of God. What is the glory of God? God's manifested presence. So, man is the manifested presence of God. Now, of course, Paul is talking here about a born-again man. A born-again man. One who has accepted Jesus to be the Lord of his life, is hooked up with God, and therefore represents God just as we represent Jesus on the earth. And what did Jesus tell us in the Great Commission? Go forth to all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. How are you going to do that? You're not going to do it disconnected from God. Man can't. He can only do it through the anointing. The anointing comes when you're hooked up to the Father. Jesus in the Gospels is the example of what we are to be doing. God's showing us, this is a pattern of what you're to do. You are to walk. I am to walk as Jesus walked in the gospel. We're to heal the sick. We're to cast out the demons. We're to raise the dead. But we need to be continually hooked up to God. And how are we going to do that? The only way that's going to be possible is to stay hooked up. And how is that? To stay in the Word, to fellowship with him, to know what his Word says, to speak his Word, to do what his Word says. What did Jesus always say? I and my Father are one. The works that I do, the things that I do, they're my Father's. If you're separated from the Father, you're not going to be speaking his Word. You're not going to be doing the things of him. You are going to have to be hooked up to him 24 hours a day. You can read books about powerful people. You can see God move powerfully through the lives of others, and you can look at them and say, wow, would I love to be used like that? Then you need to stay hooked up to God and his Word, because God is no respecter of persons. How do we think that Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead? There was a man that died, and he propped that man up in the corner. And he said to him, live. And he slumped, wrapped up four times, he stood him up. And each time he slid back down to he was dead as a doornail. And he just would not give up because he knew. He knew who he was. Smith Wigglesworth never let 15 minutes of his day go by without talking to the Lord. So what was he? He was constantly hooked up. And when you're constantly hooked up, that's when the power can flow. That's when there is a need. You can't wait till there's a need and then run into your prayer corner and say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, here's a man dying. because you're not hooked up. It's going to take you a while to get your faith boosted up. Let your faith be built up all the time by staying hooked into that. Man was crowned, Psalm 8:5 tells us, man was crowned with God's glory. That word crown means anointed. So that's proof again that Adam was anointed with the manifested presence of God. Now we know that God, as soon as Adam sinned, that was it. God cast him out of the garden. And he had, that was never God's intent. But, and we know that that's why sickness and disease and so forth came in. Adam was an exact duplicate of, in kind of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So then Jesus, when he came, reconnected mankind with God. And that's why as we walk, we see that we can be and we can stay hooked up. Do you ever notice some days in your life where you just can't seem to get through to God? I know you do, because we all do. I mean, there are times like you think, Lord, I pray, and it seems like my prayer go right up to the ceiling and bounce back down. That's just the enemy. That's just the enemy trying to create a void in there between you and God. But God gets through any void of the enemy. God can hear, and God does hear. It may appear to you, but if you're hooked up to that main supply, that current's going to flow. Whether you feel it or not isn't the issue. We don't go by feeling. We go by the fact that, Lord, you are, my faith is in you, and when I do what your word says, when I'm obedient, then I eat the good of the land, because that's what your word says. We know that John 1:14 tells us that the word was made flesh, that the word of God that he spoke all through the Old Testament, from Genesis 3:15 on, that one would come that would crush the head of Satan, that would break the destroyer's yoke, just obliterate it. We know that he was talking about who? The anointed Christ, the man that was hooked up to him. And so, as that happened, God continued to say what was going to happen. He didn't say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. He knew immediately. When the enemy attacked in the garden, God already had a plan. Now listen to me. When the enemy attacks you, you must already have a plan. And that has to be the Word of God. That's the master plan. Colossians 2:9. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Or we can say, in the anointed one's body dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. The body of the man called Jesus, the fullness of God dwelt in him, which gave him the additional name, Christ, the Anointed One. Remember, it's Jesus, the Anointed One. When you are born again, it's your name and the Anointed One. You are a little representative of Jesus Christ himself. That anointing is within you. You have it there if you continue to walk as he would, as he did. Now you'll notice that it doesn't say in Jesus' body, it says in Christ, or in the anointed part. It's in the anointed part of you that the fullness of the Godhead lives. What is the anointed part of you? It's your spirit. It's your spirit that communes with God. Your mind can be out here racing around. Your mind can be on television, on sports, on other things. You've got to pull your mind and take authority over it and bring it into the subjection of what the Word says. We know that. God says that we have to retrain or reprogram or put our minds in line with His Word, because your mind isn't going to go the way your spirit goes. Remember, the only part of you in your physical makeup that is like God is your spirit. That's the part that's hooked up with God in the very most center of your being. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of man is the, wait a minute, the can't, Somebody help me in the name of Jesus. Okay, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Thank you. I knew that's what I wanted to say, just couldn't get it out. In man's spirit, God always deals with you with your spirit. Your spirit will tell your mind what God says if your mind and your spirit are hooked up together. Your spirit will talk to your mind will talk to your body. If you are not hooked up with God, your mind is going to be out there with the world. And so, here's an example that might simplify what I'm trying to say. If you are constantly watching, let's just say, General Hospital, it isn't going to be long, and it's a known fact that there was a series by, when TV first came out with a doctor series, within the next 2 weeks, doctors were constantly flooded with the same sicknesses and symptoms that appeared on the program. When you watch General Hospital and you see all these different things, I'm not talking about the affair part, I'm talking about people with sicknesses and so forth, or you watch any program like that, your mind becomes acclimated to that. Therefore, what happens is your body gets attacked. As your body gets attacked, your mind says, oh yeah, I know somebody that had that. Yep, that's right, they had the same symptoms. Did you ever have anybody ask you, when you had such and such, what were your symptoms? What are they doing? They're associating with you and your symptoms. They're not associating with, this is what the word says. They're becoming disconnected. And so, if you want to have your mind in line with the word, how are you going to do that? Renew it daily with the word. Who's going to renew your mind? Is God just going to say, zap, there's my thought for you for the day? No. You've got to say, as I read this word, Lord, give me something to meditate on for the day. And that will be the thought that you get. But you have to pursue it. God just isn't going to, boom, here's the thought. Here's the thought for you and a little one for you. You've got to do something. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to bring your mind in line with the Word of God. You've got to bring your mind in line with your spirit. Your spirit man rules your spirit. Your mind rules your body. If your spirit man and your mind are together, your body's out here by itself saying, I better get with the program. But if your mind and your body are together, your spirit keeps saying, no, don't go with that symptom. Go with what the Word says. Go with what the Word says. And it will work. It has to work because it's God. I told you a while back in the testimony that I gave you about when I worked in the factory and that machine came down on my finger and how I knew if I pulled my finger at all with that stamping machine on there, it would just hold it and I would be without a finger. So I had to leave it in there to fry until it was ready because it was running on automatic. And when I took that finger out and saw that there was no skin left on it, I immediately began to say, in the name of Jesus. And the lady who had relieved me came back, and she almost fainted when she saw it. You better, and she called the foreman over, and he said, you better get to the hospital. I said, no, it's fine, I have no pain. And I had no pain. And I worked the rest of the night. And I still had no pain when I went to the hospital. It wasn't because the finger was numb. It was because of the name of Jesus. It was because, even though the physical symptom was there, my spirit took authority immediately. That's what I spoke. My mind was hooked up to my spirit and the Word of God, and that took authority over whatever else anybody else thought. That's how we've got to be. We've got to be so in line and in tune that we need to be as Jesus was. We need to be as Smith Wigglesworth was. In constant communication with God. In Matthew 16, Jesus is walking with the disciples, and he says, who do men say that I am? And their reply to him was, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you are a prophet. And then Jesus said, and who do you say that I am. Now, this is the position that we are in the world today. The Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet. They believe that he was the Son of God, like the other prophets. Who do you say he is? That's the difference. He's not just Jesus to you and I. What did Peter answer? You are the Christ. You are the Anointed One. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he the Anointed One that's visible in your life? Or is he Jesus? There's a difference. Remember, Jesus is the manly or the humanity part. Christ is the anointed, that which is hooked up to the Spirit. You will notice all through the Gospels that those who didn't know Jesus or recognize his anointing always referred to him as Jesus. It was only those who knew of the anointing within him that called him the Christ. Who do you say I am? Jesus would be asking you that today. Now, along with Colossians 2, when it says, In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead, in Christ's body dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 2:10 says, you are complete in him. What does complete mean? Means total, doesn't it? So everything you need is in him. In whom? In Christ. In the Anointed One, you are complete in the Anointed One, because the Anointed One and his anointing is in you.
Hallelujah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Okay. You are complete. Therefore, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in your body. You are called Christian. What at Antioch was where that first term came about, Christian. What was it? Like Christ. So you are like Christ. You are like the Anointed One and his anointing. If you are complete and the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you, then the fullness of the Godhead is the anointed part of your spirit, is your spirit that is anointed totally and completely to do everything that Jesus did. But we have to know that, and we have to continue to stand on it, because if we don't, then God can't use us. Again, remember the combination of the names. Jesus is the flesh and blood part. He was called Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus the Anointed One of Nazareth. But he was only called that, and when you read it by people that didn't understand, he's Jesus of Nazareth. No good thing can come out of Nazareth. No good thing. Well, the greatest thing ever came, and they missed the boat. We've got to know that it isn't just Jesus that you have in you, but it's Jesus the Anointed One. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fullness of the Godhead is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If the fullness of the Father is in you, you have his love. You have his grace. You have his mercy. You have his compassion. Therefore, you have in that anointing, everything that the Father does and is. You have his love. You have his faith. You have his mercy. You can forgive because the Father forgave you. You can walk in forgiveness. You can walk in love. You can walk in faith. Why? Because the fullness of the Father is in you. So don't say, well, you have great faith, but I just don't have that kind of faith. If you have God the Father and the completeness, and that's what his word says, his word doesn't lie. If you have the fullness of the Godhead living in you, you have the same capabilities and abilities as the Father God. Now, Jesus is the flesh and blood representative that stood in our place. If he hadn't come as a man, we could never have that fullness in us, because Adam lost it. If Adam hadn't sinned, there would have never been any need for Jesus to come. But because Adam sinned and disobeyed God, that separated man from God. And so right there in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3:15, when God was pronouncing the curse on the earth and on the serpent and on the woman with the childbearing and so forth, immediately God had the plan. He didn't have to walk around the throne room thinking, oh boy, what am I going to do now? How am I going to come against this? He knew. He knew it. He already had the plan. God has the plan for every one of our lives. All we need to do is be yielded and hooked up to him to get it. So, Jesus is the one in the manly form that came to take our place. The anointed part of him is the part that hooked us up to God. The Holy Spirit is the one who manifests the glory of the Father. So when you have the fullness of the Godhead in you, you have all the ability of God the Father. You have all that Jesus did in the Gospels, all those capabilities in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest the presence of God, and in effect, you walk around as the manifested presence of God. You walk around as the Christian who is carrying out the work of Christ, of the Anointed One. That's what made Jesus different from anyone else. He was born a human. But that's why he had to be born of a virgin, and it had to be the Word planted in him by the Holy Spirit, because he would have been born a sinful man like every other man. But that's why it was so necessary for God to lay all this groundwork to have a virgin and to have the Word come forth by the power of the Spirit and to have him be born as a human being, because man fell as a human being. And so Jesus was tempted many times, as you and I are tempted, to get him to fall like the devil got Adam to fall. The devil's going to be on your case all the time, folks. And when you have a victory, a major victory, don't lay down your sword and think, oh boy, I'm home for a little bit. I can breathe. Devil's on vacation from me, because he's not. He's going to look for any opportunity. But you have the same opportunities as Jesus had to fail, because you have the same anointing in you, the completeness and the fullness of the Godhead. Everything that Jesus did on the earth came through his anointing. That's what made him different. That's what makes you and I different. The Muslims believed that Jesus was a prophet. Again, they believe he was the Son of God. They believe Muhammad was too. They don't believe that he was resurrected, but they believe that Jesus part of it. They don't understand the Christ part. They don't have the big picture of the anointing, and that all that he did was done under that anointing. Every prophet in the Old Testament had that anointing come upon them. They walked with God. They spent time with God. And so, when Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and Isaiah would prophesy in the Word of God, regardless of what they went through, the man part of them went through the things that men go through. But the anointed part of them was the part that was constantly hooked up to God, and that's why God could use them to prophesy. That's why God could use Elijah and Elisha to raise the dead. Because of that part. It's the anointed part, was the anointed part of Jesus while he walked on the earth, the part that was hooked up to God that allowed him to do the miracles. It's that same anointing that's in you and I today that allows us to do the things that Christ did. Without that anointing, we would be Jesus' people. We would have faith like Jesus had, but the anointing wouldn't be there. It has to be the dual thing. Jesus, the Anointed One, and his anointing. And the fullness, again, and I keep stressing this to you because I believe we need to see that. We need to get the big picture that the fullness of the Godhead is within me. I don't have to reach up and grab it. And that's what it's talking about in Deuteronomy and in Romans when it says, the word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. You speak it with faith and it comes to pass. But we have to realize that that fullness of the Godhead is totally squelched when we speak anything contrary to the Word of God. God isn't going to move on anything but His Word. He's not going to move on, boy, am I poor, boy, am I sick, boy, am I this, boy, am I that, because Jesus has already been made Lord over that. And if you're speaking something that He's already been made Lord over, unless you're speaking of His power in that thing, He's not going to move on your behalf. Remember, you've got to say what the Word says. Jesus is our example. What did He say? The words that I speak are the words of my Father. What words are you speaking? The words of the Father? And what are the words of the Father? The Bible. His Word. When you speak His Word, He brings it to pass. What does it tell us? He honors His Word above His name. But when you speak your situation or your circumstance, He just has to stand there. Remember the mini vision. Remember God showing me the person standing before the throne and Jesus at His right hand. And as a person is praying, they're praying the Word. And Jesus stands and He smiles and He turns to the Father. And He says, Father, that's surely, that's your person of God. That's your child. They're saying what your Word says. I took their place. You have to honor it. And the Father commissions the Holy Spirit to do it. But by the same token, if you have someone standing before the throne of God and saying, oh, Lord, heal me. I am so sick. Jesus will just stand there because you're praying contrary to His Word. His Word says, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Were healed. Healing has already taken place 2,000 years ago for every sickness and disease in the world today. But if you're praying, Jesus, heal me, you're not praying according to His Word, and so we can't move on it. So the person who is praying, oh Lord, I'm so sick, heal me, Jesus just stands there. He doesn't smile. He can't. And He can't turn to the Father and say, they're praying my word because they're praying contrary to the word. You understand that? They're praying, Lord, I'm sick. The word says you're healed. Now, who's the liar here? God doesn't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. So one of the two of you is wrong. And I'll give you a big clue. It's not God. When you pray and say what His word says, Jesus turns to the Father and says, that's right. Do you hear your child? They're praying your word. The Father commissions the Holy Spirit, do it. Now, as soon as you pray, God hears. And as soon as He hears, He moves. But you may not see the results. It may take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Why? Because if the enemy can intercede, and that help is, let's just say, you're here. This is you. The help is on its way down from the third heaven. It gets to the second heaven, and when it hits the interference, it's stopped, and a battle goes on. In the meantime, you're down here. You're keeping on thinking and saying until pretty soon you begin to weaken and get weary, and then the angel battling to get through that second heaven where Satan is can't get through, and then you give up and you say, ah, I guess it's not going to happen. Well, when you say that, back up they go, and that's the end of it. That's why it's important that you continue to say what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit's power operates and causes the things that we're believing for to come to pass. Remember, He is the power working agent of the Trinity. He's the power that manifests God's glory. Remember, Jesus said that He glorified the Father, but the Holy Spirit would always glorify Him. The Holy Spirit will always glorify the Christ part, the anointed part. Holy Spirit will always glorify the things and bring to pass the manifested presence of God in your life as you stand fixed and established on the Word of God, refusing to budge. But you've got to do your part, just like Adam had his part to do. God said, don't touch the tree. Adam knew what he was doing. He wasn't way off somewhere and came walking in, la la la. And Eve said, here, have a piece of fruit. Adam was right there by her side. Adam heard the devil talk to her. Adam had the right and the authority to say to him, get out of here. You're the trespasser. This is God's property. I have the authority. You, as the anointed, with the power of God in you, have the right and the ability, and you have the authority to say to the devil when he comes with a calling card of a symptom or of lack or of anything else that's contrary to the Word of God, you are standing in the same position as Adam. Now, you have to realize that. And if you yield to, well, you know, I don't see it. I've been waiting all this time, and the Lord hasn't. Well, you know, that's not going to work for you. So we need to realize that. What we need to realize is that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us. That same Godhead. Why do you think that it tells us in the epistles that God sees us seated in heavenly places with who? With Christ Jesus. He doesn't say Jesus Christ. He says Christ Jesus. God sees you seated in heavenly places with the anointed Jesus. The same body that Jesus has today, we are going to get when the rapture comes. We are going to get when we go to the grave. The body goes to the grave. The spirit goes up. And when the two are connected together, it's a glorified body. That's what we have in the anointed Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father. But it's not Jesus the anointed. It's the anointed Jesus. So now, it's you and I who are the anointed Christians. We are the anointed ones. Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. God said to Adam, I give you power. You take dominion. You have the same thing. So when you don't take the authority and the name of Jesus and his blood, and you don't use it, then you are not standing in that anointing position. You are standing as everybody else did who didn't believe who he was. Now, I'm telling you this because we need to wake up. We need to realize that when the attacks come, we are the anointed ones. We're to carry out his work on the earth. Are we succeeding or not? I am. I don't know about you. But we strive for that. We have to strive to continue to change the things in our lives that don't line up with the Word of God. We have to stay hooked up to the power. That's where it is. Hooked up to the Word, hooked up to the love, hooked up to the Father. His words should be your words. Jesus never said his own words. You know that? He never said, leprosy, I don't think I can handle that one. What do you mean you need money for taxes, Peter? Well, God just ran out. No. He said, go fish. It takes faith to go fish and get money. Let me tell you. The way a lot of people fish, they'd be really in trouble, wouldn't they? Well, let's praise the Lord for who we are. And let's thank him that he has given us that anointing. That he's given us everything there is available. That's why so many of us do not understand. We are so used to giving, but we give expecting something back. Or we give, even if it's love. Man gives his love expecting to be loved in return. The desire to be loved is built within every man. That's why we have so much wrong stuff in the world, because it's the wrong kind of love. The God kind of love doesn't have to be lustful. The God kind of love just has to be grown into and received, because the God kind of love always gives and gives and gives and gives, never expecting anything back. God gave Jesus to the whole world 2,000 years ago. Now it's up to the people in the world to accept that free gift. If they don't, it's not God's fault. But every time a sinner comes to the realization and accepts Jesus Christ, Jesus doesn't get back on the cross again and say, okay, boys, nail me up. It's done. 2,000 years ago, it's done. Sin isn't the issue with God. Now the issue is receiving Christ and doing what he would have us to do. So we need to realize that. And we need to realize that everything God has is ours. He's given it to us. That's what agape does. You want the shirt off my back? I'll give it to you. Give it all away. Be willing to give it away. God doesn't expect you to give it away, but he wants you to be willing to. That's like a lot of times people will say, I could never be called to the mission field. I'm so glad God called you, because I could never hack it. God doesn't expect you to. But God expects you, if he would say to you, I need someone in Somalia, that you would be the one to say, Lord, if I'm the one you desire to go, I'm willing to go. He wants us to be willing. Not run in fear like, I don't want to go there because, Lord, if I ever go to visit Somalia, I know you're going to send me there. That's fear. God isn't going to send you somewhere that you're afraid to go to in the first place. God isn't going to send you to some war zone, physically or spiritually, that you're not equipped. And God needs people everywhere. It can be a mission field in your neighborhood. It can be a mission field in your family. In fact, that is the first mission field, really, when you come down to it. So let's realize that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us. Amen? Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, and we praise you that we're so special to you. And oh, how we love you. We thank you, Father God, that all that you've given to us, we receive. We desire, Lord, to be fully pleasing unto you. We desire to have that supernatural ability that you've already placed within us reach the potential that you would desire it to. And Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that everything that was available to Jesus has been given to us, that we walk in the perfect law of liberty, that the law of sin and death has no place in us, because in the Anointed One, we have the Spirit of life. And we thank you for that. Father God, it's my desire that as everyone here and has heard this message this morning, that they look to you, Holy Spirit, to continue to perfect those things that need to be perfected, to remove those things which need to be removed, to show us those things that we must remove. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.